This is the Bible with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel, Express Version, Day 122. How to handle confrontation. Confrontation is not something that I find easy. It's a delicate operation. It's crucial to find the right approach, the right words for the job. Or, to use a golfing analogy, it's like the skill of knowing which club to use. Those who are skilled at confrontation have a great variety of approaches and words and know when and how to use the appropriate one. Confrontation is not always the right course. Not every critic has to be confronted. Not every wrong statement needs to be refuted. I greatly admire the skill of those who know when to confront and are good at confronting in a loving way. They've learned how to speak the truth in love. When confrontation is necessary, how should you go about it? From Psalm 55. Listen to my prayer, O God. My thoughts trouble me, and I'm distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words, for I see violence and strife in the city. Confront evil prayerfully. You only have to switch on the news or read a newspaper to hear of terrorist attacks that take place in cities all around the world. News of gang-related violence and murders and the atrocities of war killing thousands and displacing millions of innocent civilians in Ukraine and in the Middle East. David also faced violent and destructive forces of evil at work in the city. As David faces his enemy, as they revile him in their anger, he says, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Escapism is a temptation to shy away from confrontation, but evil must be confronted. Don't run away. Don't be overwhelmed. Rather, do what you can. You can make a difference. As St. Paul writes, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. David's response to the violence and destruction is to ask God to intervene. He prays, Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words. Prayer is an important part of our response to destructive forces. Prayer and action go hand in hand. Even when you can't help physically, you can always pray. God acts in response to your prayers. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. Help me not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. New Testament from John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one can perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Confront people lovingly. Confronting those in a position of weakness is relatively easy and sometimes cowardly. Confronting those in position of power over us through their job, status, or wealth takes great courage. Jesus was the master at confrontation. He never shied away from it. On the other hand, he never acted out of any motive but love. Nicodemus was a very powerful man, a moral and upright Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council. Jesus was undaunted by his position. He lovingly confronts Nicodemus with the need to be born again, to start anew, leave behind past hurts, habits, and old ways. The message of Jesus is about transformation. Nicodemus needs to be born again of water and the Spirit. The outward washing must be accompanied by the inward dwelling of the Holy Spirit. We do not see God physically now, but we see evidence of God. Like the wind, we cannot see it, but we can see its effect on the trees and the leaves. The invisible, moving the visible. Likewise, Jesus says, you cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the impact on people's lives. The person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the Spirit, and becomes a living spirit. Jesus lovingly challenges Nicodemus about his beliefs. Using the image of the snake in the desert, Jesus predicts that he himself will be lifted up on the cross so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Believes means trusts. Every time we enter a relationship, we take a risk. All relationships require trust. Trust in a dynamic relationship grows and endures. Jesus teaches about God's love. The Greek word used for love in verse 16, agape, appears 44 times in John's Gospel alone. This verse sums up John's Gospel and indeed the whole of the New Testament. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There is a God, and his love is wide enough to embrace all humankind without distinction or exception. It's not a vague or sentimental love. God's love is of immeasurable intensity, demonstrated by his willingness to sacrifice his only Son for you and me. The world is in such a mess. People often ask, why doesn't God do something? The answer is that he has. He came in the person of his Son, Jesus, to die on a cross and rise again for you. Jesus understands about suffering. He suffered for us, and he suffers alongside us. Many people have ceased to believe in life after death, but Jesus promised that we would have eternal life and actually live forever. This life is not the end. There is hope beyond the grave. Jesus offers you eternal life. There's a big difference between confrontation and condemnation. Jesus confronted people, but he did not condemn them. Jesus did not come to condemn you, but to save you from condemnation. Like Jesus, you and I need to bring a message not of condemnation, but the good news of salvation. To save means to pull a person out of danger, to liberate, to open the doors of a prison, to heal, to make whole. Next, Jesus speaks of how light exposes and confronts darkness. Jesus seems to be suggesting that the reason some people reject him is because their deeds are evil. We do not want to come into the light because we do not want to give up the things that we know are wrong. We do not want people to see the shadow areas in us. We hide all the dark inside us behind our apparent goodness. Sin hates light. When we sin, we want to avoid the light of Jesus. We do not want our evil deeds to be exposed, but Jesus came to confront the darkness. We may be afraid or ashamed. It may be extremely difficult for us, but we too must confront darkness in our lives and seek to live in the light of Christ, who loves you just as you are. Martin Luther King said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Lord, thank you for the example of Jesus. Help me to live in the light and to have the courage to speak the truth in love. Old Testament from Joshua 21:22. So the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh left the Israelites at Shiloh in Canaan to return to Gilead, their own land, which they had acquired in accordance with the command of the Lord through Moses. When they came to Geliloth, near the Jordan in the land of Canaan, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an imposing altar there by the Jordan. And when the Israelites heard that they built the altar on the border of Canaan at Geliloth, near the Jordan on the Israelite side, the whole assembly of Israel gathered at Shiloh to go to war against them. When they went to Gilead, to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they said to them, "The whole assembly of the Lord says, 'How could you break faith with the God of Israel like this? How could you turn away from the Lord and build yourself an altar in rebellion against him now? If you rebel against the Lord today, tomorrow he will be angry with the whole community of Israel.'" Then Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh replied to the heads of the clans of Israel, "No, we did it for fear that someday your descendants might say to ours, 'What do you have to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? The Lord has made the Jordan a boundary between us and you, you Reubenites and Gadites. You have no share in the Lord, so your descendants might cause ours to stop fearing the Lord. That's why we said, let us get ready and build an altar, but not for burnt offerings or sacrifices. On the contrary, it is to be a witness between us and you and the generations that follow that we will worship the Lord at his sanctuary with our burnt offerings, sacrifices, and fellowship offerings. Then, in the future, your descendants will not be able to say to ours, 'You have no share in the Lord.'" And we said, "If they ever say this to us or to our descendants, we will answer, 'Look at the replica of the Lord's altar, which our ancestors built, not for burnt offerings and sacrifices, but as a witness between us and you.'" When Phinehas, the priest, and the leaders of the community heard what Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh had to say, they were pleased. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, said to Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, "Today we know that the Lord is with us, because you have not been unfaithful to the Lord in this matter. Now you have rescued the Israelites from the Lord's hand." Confront opposition wisely. Many conflicts could be avoided if people would talk to each other rather than just about each other. As a result of a genuine misunderstanding, the rest of Israel looked at the 2.5 tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and thought they were doing the wrong thing and disobeying God. However, instead of going to war straight away, they were wise enough to confront them and challenge them verbally. Once they'd done that, it became clear that their fears were groundless. They were right to want to interfere rather than ignore, because what one part of the body does affects the whole body. They could not simply say, "It's up to them what they do." When the 2.5 tribes were confronted, they gave their explanation. "We did it because we cared." They wanted to ensure their children kept the faith. The explanation was satisfactory. "Now we're convinced that God is present with us, since you haven't been disloyal to God in this matter." This was one of the occasions when it was a good idea to have a meeting. After the meeting, they talked no more about going to war. Be careful not to jump to hasty, adverse conclusions about other Christians and other churches. Do not attack them verbally behind their backs. If necessary, arrange a meeting, confront and hear the explanation. If we do this, much needless division and ill feeling will be avoided. In this case, when they heard the explanation, instead of being skeptical or cynical, they accepted it and praised God. When you make mistakes about people, be generous in admitting your mistakes. It takes a big person to admit that they're wrong. Lord, give me the wisdom to know when it's important to meet, to confront, and to hear explanations. Help us to avoid unnecessary divisions and disunity. Help me to learn the skills of loving confrontation.
Pippa adds, in Psalm 55, verse 9 and 10, it says, I see violence and strife in the city. They prowl about, malice and abuse are within it. There is still so much of this in so many cities today. We need to keep praying and working to advance the kingdom of God.